Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, we love you.
Oh, I love him. Yes, I love him because he first loved me.
Praise this morning together. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you and praise you. Father, you're worthy, Lord. Praise his name. Praise his name. Let's go and open our Bibles up together to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Just for announcement's sake, real quick, you know, this Wednesday we plan on having Brother Alexander here to preach. And the next following weekend after that, we're going to have the dedicational services, but announced that on last Wednesday. If you have any questions, I actually made a little calendar finally, so you can go check it out and tell anybody else that might need to know. So I appreciate that. Ephesians chapter 3, let's go down to verse 14. You have the same Bible I do? I think you do. Go to page 1252. I think you got the same one I do. That's all right. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So what's the name of the whole family in heaven and earth? The Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Ephesians 1, just a couple pages back there. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Actually, let's go to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I want to continue the thought I did the last two Sundays, which is a perfect atonement. By a perfect husband produces a perfect bride. Today I want to talk about the bride's name. Amen. The bride's name. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've studied, I've prayed, but Lord, it all comes down to right now when you come and take control of the service, Lord. I pray you speak to every heart. Let us open up our hearts to whatever you have to say to us, Lord. If there's any sin in our lives, I pray you take it far from us, Lord, and just make us holy and without blemish before you in love. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord. We invite you to come have your way this morning. Help us to do thy will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and take your seats. I'm going to get me a drink right now. So as we backdrop this a little bit, kind of with what I've preached the last few weeks, we know first of all that the bride is called to only have one husband, and that one husband has to be Jesus Christ. It can't be a husband of the world. It can't be a husband of your own thought or your own dogma or your own religion or your own interpretation of God's word. You have to be married to the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. That is the only husband you are allowed to have to be part of the bride of Christ. Christ will not marry anybody that disagrees with his word. Amen. Okay, I'm not preaching to myself this morning. I studied this. By the help of the Lord, I know what I'm preaching this morning. If you want to receive, go ahead and say amen for me, all right? Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Okay. And last week, we talked about the two choices that you have in your own mind. In this day and age, we are either Laodicea or you'll be the bride of Christ. You'll either be lukewarm or you'll be the bride. You can either... Let's go ahead and turn there. Let's read that. Let's backdrop this a little bit. Revelations 3. I want to show you the condition that you can choose to be. Revelations 3, and we read this last time, but that's okay. Starting at verse 14, Revelations, last book of the Bible there. Chapter 3, verse 14. Excuse me. Amen. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There's what happens to you if you're in Laodicea and you do not choose to be the bride. You will get spewed out of God's mouth. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. There's your number one sign of the difference between being part of Laodicea and a part of the bride. Laodicea has no ability to repent of their sins. They have no ability to come up to the word and say, look, I was wrong, the word is right. Now the bride's the opposite side. The bride don't got no problem saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I made a mistake, forgive me, let me walk in the right ways.
Amen.
Amen. That's where you have to choose which side you're on. Are you willing to come up to God's word and say, I'm wrong, the word's right, 100% of the time? Amen.
Sure.
Now, what is the bride's name? And you'll hear a lot of times in the message especially, we got to know who we are. That's the problem with the church. The church don't know who she is. And that is completely correct. The church seems to think she's another denomination. She's another group of people that have got some pretty good doctrine. And they need to go around and try to proselyte other people into this doctrine. That is not the church. The church came from Christ before the foundation of the world. As we read there in Ephesians, let's go back there again. Now don't make me preach by myself, all right? I need a little help out there. Amen. Everybody all right this morning? Do we need anybody? Nobody sick or anything?
Amen.
We can cast out devils if we need to. Ephesians 1. And we'll go to verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now look, you can't just have that in your mind. You've got to have a faith to know that right now I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That'll take you out of being depressed. That'll take you out of being tired. That'll bring you into a realm of you and God.
Amen.
And it'll bring you back to what we had before we fell.
That's right.
What Adam and Eve had in the garden, where God will come down in the cool of the evening and have fellowship with them. How many want fellowship with God this morning?
Sure.
If you just want to hear from Brother Andrew, just go ahead. But that you got to look past that. That's not what we're here for. You're not here to hear the words of a man. You're here to hear the word of God. To have fellowship with the Maker.
Yes.
And He desires that. That is why He made us. Look, how many of you husbands would be pretty bored if you didn't have your wife around anymore? I don't even know what it was like before that. Now, you know, you look back and go, how did I live all by myself? I don't understand this. But that, why would God be any different? You don't think God wants His bride with Him?
Amen.
Yes, He does. And the problem is the bride gets all mixed up in some of these things. Now let me watch. The bride's name coming out of God's provided place of worship. 65. Now remember, we died in our own name, was buried and raised in His.
Yes.
So right there, those of you that have been born again in the Spirit of God, you're no longer your own name.
Nope.
That name has died because that name's attached to the sin that you did.
Sure.
I have a whole list under Andrew Kressel of things that Andrew Kressel did that'll send me straight to hell. But I died to that list. That list went to the ground when Christ died. I died with Him.
Amen.
And I'm raised in His name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. See, we're no more our own, of which the great name of Jesus Christ, which the Bible said over here in Ephesians, He says 1:21, but I believe that's not what we read, was it? Ephesians 3:15. Both families in heaven and earth is named after that name. That's where God put His name. That's the family name in heaven. That's the family name on earth. So when I look at another brother, I don't look at them as Brother Tom Sproles. I look at, that's a part of God.
Amen.
And if we could keep that perspective, we'd have a lot easier time not judging one another. We'd have a lot easier time loving one another. And going, yeah, that brother did that wrong, but I know I could do that wrong too. And I'm not looking at that right now. I'm looking past that old name. I'm going to look at Christ that I believe is in that brother. I believe his heart's desire, a real Christian's desire, is to do the will of God.
Amen.
Now, will you always do the will of God? No, sir. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. But don't let that stop you. Don't let that keep you from being who you're supposed to be in God. Look, the bride is supposed to be without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
And it's not you trying to work up not having spot or wrinkle. It's you believing that God has said We don't have spot or wrinkles. So I believe it and I'm going to walk in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to die to my name. I'm not even going to associate with myself in the flesh.
Right.
Now, we talked about those two laws. You've got to pick which law you want to be. You're either the law of the flesh or you're the law of God. You've got to pick, which one am I? Which one's the real me? Which one came from eternity and is going back?
Oh, amen.
Amen. Down here, we started, right? I have a birth date. And you know, if the Lord tarries, I'll have a death date. Correct? But if you go before that, look, God is eternal. He never started. Never will end. And if you're a part of Him, you're as eternal as He is. Amen. Am I preaching over your head? We want the bride's name. The bride's name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Mrs. Jesus Christ. Because we married Him. Amen. What's my wife's last name? Kressel. It wasn't before, but it is now. Why? There's been a marriage take place. And it's the same with the bride of Christ and with Jesus Christ Himself. You take on His name. You're not identified by yourself no more. You don't have to go to the judgment all alone. You go with Him.
Yes, you do.
And when you go to that scale of the... We talked about that good old meter. Everybody remember the good old meter. You step on the scale of the good old meter. You step on there, it's going to... You're done. But if Christ goes with you and He pushes you aside and says, I'll stand on it, Christ is good enough.
Yes, He is.
He, and we know He did that. He paid all the cost. He was good enough. He died for the sins of the world. Now, what's the problem then? Why do we have so much division in churches? Why is this group against this group and this one against this one? And they all say they're Christians. That doesn't make sense. Right? If we're all one body, my hand is not punching my face right now. Right? We're not fighting. I'm not hitting myself because my body is one. But if we look at the body of Christ, at least what's supposed to be the body of Christ, it looks like it's committing suicide all the time. This one's fighting this one. This one's got a problem with this guy. This one can't fellowship with that brother because he believes something I don't like. What does that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? Amen. Now, if a brother's partaking in sin, I can't go out there and walk with him. I got no desires for that.
Amen.
But I'm still going to love him. I still fellowship with him any chance I could under the laws of God.
Sure.
Of course I would. And same with on the job. Don't look at people just because you know they're sinners and say, oh, you know, he's heading to hell. I might as well not even waste my time. That guy is covered in tattoos and earrings and all this. That don't mean nothing.
Nothing.
It doesn't. You don't know their heart. They could be trapped by Satan right now and want to get out, but don't know how.
Right.
And you're supposed to show them.
Mm-hmm.
What are we? We're too busy in our own lives. We're too busy living our name out and not the name of Christ.
Good one. Amen.
Because Jesus Christ lived for others. His whole life. You can't find one time where Jesus used His power, His authority, any of that for Himself.
Amen.
He was always using it for others.
Amen.
Amen. Coming out of Once More, Lord, 63. And if the church can overcome, she will stop saying, I am Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. When she can overcome her creeds and the world that's drawn her in there, she'll come back to the bride of Christ.
Hallelujah.
This is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look, don't make yourself a truth tabernacian. Right? Oh, they're, oh, you know, the Baptists down there, you know, of course they're off the word and all this stuff. Don't do it here now either. You identify with one name. That's Jesus Christ. Don't identify with Kresselians or whatever, Reaganites or whatever all these names we come out with in the message. No, you're not a brand of mine either. You need to throw that one in the trash too. You are a Christian.
Amen.
Mrs. Jesus Christ, you're supposed to be married to. That's the bride's name. Coming out of modern events made clear by prophecy. You enjoying this morning? I'm not preaching myself. I'm not preaching over you. Anybody did? Does it make sense? That's the whole point. I was talking to a brother yesterday about that. You know, teaching. When I teach a class, I'm not interested in showing the class that I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. My goal is to be able to have them get what I'm trying to say.
Right?
2 + 2 = 4. Do you get it? Do you need a picture of apples? I'll do that this time. We'll use tangerines. You know, whatever I got to do to get you to get it. It's the same with the Word of God. I don't want people looking at me going out here and saying, I don't know clue what we're talking about today. I don't know how to apply that to my life. You know, that's not the point. I'm not here to give you some deep thing that you can't go home and do something with it.
Amen.
The Word of God is profitable.
Yes.
All of it.
Yes.
Okay? When you read even those genealogies and stuff, get into it one time. Get into the Spirit first and then read your Bible.
Uh-huh.
And watch what the Lord starts showing you.
Sure, amen.
You read something and go, wait a minute, that's me. He's talking about me. He said, whosoever will, let him come unto me and I'll give him the waters of life freely.
Uh-huh.
Whosoever will. And then the Lord reminds him, don't you want it? I said, yes, I do. Then I must be part of that. I can have the rivers of life.
Praise God. Modern events made clear by prophecy. 65. The Methodists say, it's in our church. The Baptist says, and the Pentecostals, and this, the Presbyterians, and this. But he said, I'll meet them in one place. The place I put my name. That's Jesus Christ. The only place of fellowship with God is under the name of Jesus Christ. In the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. You must be born again, or you can't have fellowship with God.
Amen.
You can have the fellowship that Cain had with God. Cain talked to God face to face. There were no fellowship there. They weren't buddies. God came to Cain and said, where's your brother Abel? He said, am I my brother's keeper?
Uh-huh.
It's not a very good, healthy relationship, is it? If I went home and said, wife, where's my supper? Get it for me. Right now. That's not a real relationship. We might exist together. We might talk one another. I'm talking about a relationship with God. As Abraham was called God's friend, we should be called his wife, which is even closer than just being a friend. Even though we're his children, that's a pretty good relationship between somebody. Your fathers know you with your children, except your children with your fathers. But it's nothing like you and your wife. It doesn't even compare. And that's how close we're supposed to be with God. That's in Jesus Christ, the same quote again. That's where God put his name. That's the only place he'll meet you, and it's Christ, is the Word, the same yesterday. It grew from the feet, the thighs, and now it's in the head, fixing to go. Manifesting in full measure, the bride, the same as the groom.
Amen.
So as Christ was able to do the works of God, so will the bride.
Amen.
It's the same life in a different body.
Exactly. Oh,
I can read that one too. I'll get to that in a minute. Let's turn to Philippians. A couple pages over there from Ephesians. Philippians 2. Starting in verse 5. I'm going to need some more. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We all find it? Yep, you're almost there, guys. Okay, starting there at verse 5, Philippians 2, 5. I want to emphasize this verse first. Let this mind be in you. Now, if I have to let something, that means I'm in control, whether this comes in or not. So a lot of people go, oh, I just don't understand the Bible. The Bible said you're supposed to let the mind come into you.
Uh-huh.
God wants people to have the Holy Ghost more than they want to get it. Yes. God wants people to be saved more than they want to be saved. You say, prove it to me, brother. How much effort will these sinners come out here to put into getting saved? How much effort they put into you? They won't walk across the street to go to church. They won't read their Bible. They got it on every newsstand. They got it in every bookstore. You can get it at the Dollar Tree now for a buck. And they still don't want it. So yeah, they really want to be saved. No, sir, that's a bunch of hypocrisy. But God wants them saved. How do you prove that? He went to the cross and paid for it.
Amen.
Even when they didn't want it. Even when they spit in his face.
Amen.
Even when they said, we want you dead. He said, I'll still die for him.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say on the cross when they said, if you be the Son of God, come off the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So even to the end, he was trying to save sinners. Even those that Christ knew could not be saved, he was still trying to save them. Look at Cain. Do you don't think God knew that Cain would reject him? Of course he did. God knows everything. He still came to him and said, if you obey my word, if you'll do what your brother Abel did, I will accept you.
Amen.
He's always trying to save. He's always trying to get people in. It's people that resist him.
Yes.
Amen. So let this mind be in you. So let your old mind, let the old flesh, everything that you thought outside of God's word, that's got to die. You've got to put it in the ground. And when it comes back, you've got to dismiss that and say, no, that's me. That disagrees with God's word.
Right.
I can't have that. That's not what I'm supposed to be.
Right.
Which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God. There's what I want to emphasize. That word form in the Greek is morphē, which means it's taking the same substance and making it into something else.
For instance, if I took a lump of clay here, I could make it into a cross. I could make it into a book. Did the substance change?
No.
It's the same thing. It's still clay, but I can make it and use it in different ways. Just like a hammer. A hammer is one tool, but I can use it 50 different ways if I want to. It's the same with God. God before was the eternal spirit. He lived in Brother Branham called it the seventh dimension, where nobody else has seen, nobody else goes. In a dimension all by himself. No space, no time, nothing that even makes sense to us right down here in a little finite world. Amen. You can't picture no space. Right? You ever tried to do that one time? Picture no time.
Right.
Picture that there's no tomorrow, there's no yesterday, there was no, it's just right now. It's just is. There's no was, there's no will be. It just is. That's where God dwelt. But it says in the form of God, which means that that eternal God became, and what John 1:1 says, the word was God. The word there is logos. And that means God became something that you could see. God became a form that those angels, because he created the angels first, I believe, that they could see and they could worship him. Because before that, they couldn't see him. They didn't know what it was. It was something invisible. He might have talked to him, but they didn't know where he was. But when he became the Logos, and he became that theophany man, which is a spirit man. If you die, that's where you'll go, into a body just like his. They could see a human-looking figure there, and they could worship him in the form of God. Now look what happens here in verse 6. I know it's getting a little deep, but you stick with me. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because it was the same God in a different form. So it wasn't like there was some hierarchy going on between the Father and the Son.
That's right.
That's a bunch of nonsense.
Right.
It wasn't like this. It's they were the same person the whole time. But what did God do? He watched his creation fall. And he allowed it. Correct? He knew it was going to happen. I guess God, if he wanted to, he could have said, nope, I'm going to just destroy Satan and we're going to do it like this. But he'd be unjust. Because somebody did something wrong, they should have to pay for it. Right? We have laws. That's the reason we have all our laws. It's because people do wrong things and they need to pay for it. Now when man sinned, God had already pronounced, the day you eat, that day you die. Amen?
Yes.
The day you eat, that day you'll die. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we could go into that, but that's a whole sermon itself. There was a law set there that had to happen that way. Now, God had watched Adam and Eve fall. He knew it was going to happen. So in his mind, I'm trying to take you past right now. I'm trying to take you past what goes on day to day. We've got to look past this because eternity is right around the corner.
Right.
I mean, this is all going to wrap up soon. We could wake up one morning and there's an atomic bomb heading right for America. I mean, it could really be like that. We could wake up one morning and all our houses are gone now. They own them all. They kick us out, run them out. So you need to do this, this, and this. You need to support these things that we say you should support, or we're going to kill you. I mean, that could happen tomorrow. Do we understand that? This is a serious time. So that's why I'm trying to take it. We've got to get past this. We've got to look past it. This is Laodicea. This is all going to perish. But things that are eternal won't.
Right. Amen.
And if you can identify with the eternal, you'll come out of this. You'll be ready to leave.
Yes, Jesus.
And I believe the rapture will come before those things really start hitting ground. Amen. So as Adam and Eve fell, God knew they were going to fall. There had to be a price paid for that sin. God in his mind knew that he himself would pay the price. Because he was the only one worthy. Anybody here never sinned before? Anybody? Anybody want to raise your hand? Did think so. Let's look that out in the Bible real quick here too. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. A couple books before there. Brother John. 12:25. First Corinthians 15. Talking about the bride's name this morning. What this atonement that Jesus Christ did does for us. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, right there, Adam, sin, here comes death. Nothing died before Adam sinned. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die. So when did we die? The Bible says when Adam died, we died.
Right.
Because where did we all come from? That genealogy started back there in the garden and it's come all the way down right to here. Here we are. You look at the apples. Where did all the apple trees come from? There was the first one. It made apples, and it made all the rest of them the whole way through. So when Adam fell, he represented the whole human race. And we all fell with him.
Yes.
In Adam, we all die. Uh-huh. Now, he doesn't leave it there. Because if he did, I would be kind of scared. We're done for. Mm-hmm. It's game over, right? But that's not what the Bible stops at. Read the rest of this verse. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Glory to God. I'll preach to myself. Verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming.
Yes.
You have to identify. You're a part of him. He can't deny himself.
Right.
When he died for the sins of the world, he had you on his mind. That was the whole point. He didn't need to redeem himself. He didn't sin. He didn't do anything wrong. Even in his earthly life, he even said, you show me one sin in my life. You that judge me and say I'm a hypocrite, and say, show it to me. Show me one thing I've done wrong. They had nothing to put on his life because he was perfect. So what was his whole intention coming down? Pilate even asked him. He said, are you king? He said, to this purpose, that's why I came here. Because I came to die.
Uh-huh.
What was he dying for? You. You who are a part of him. That's why, this is what I'm trying to get at. If you watch an Adam, and let's go there. Let's do it right now. We're going to go to Adam and Eve. Back to Genesis. All the beginning. Genesis 5. We know that Adam was made, and then out of Adam came Eve. But I want to show you what happened before they fell. Because if you look, Eve didn't have a name before they fell. She was not called Eve. That didn't happen until after the fall. And Adam called her Eve. So if you look at Genesis chapter 5. Verse 1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. There you go. You see one and one. One God made one man. Correct? Amen. It said, made he him. Both singular. Now look at verse 2. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day that they were created.
Uh-huh.
So the whole time when Adam was made, inside of him, God had already placed the female. He was male and female at the same time. Now, not like you would think in the world, like some hermaphrodite or something crazy like that. No, he was a man that had a woman in him, had a feminine spirit in him. Amen? And their name was called Adam. They were perfectly one before the fall. And even when she came out, their name was still both Adam. I can show it to you right. When Brother Bram says the same thing I'm saying, Adam and Eve was one at the beginning. They were separated. I'm reading this wrong. Jehovah Jireh 64. Adam and Eve was one at the beginning, and when they separated them, she fell because of the word. She missed the word. She fell. Like in Eden, where there were Adam and Eve was in the beginning, the same spirit. Their names was called Adam. See, he was both Adam and Eve together. So if that's the way Adam was, and Adam is made in the image of God,
right,
God's the same way.
Amen.
You wonder why these things in the Bible, they're perfectly lined up. This is so ordained, you can't doubt it. If you actually read it, actually take it into your mind, this Bible is so perfect. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the same story. Christ and the bride.
Yeah.
Christ and the bride. You go look at Ruth and
Boaz.
Thank you, Dad. Ruth and Boaz. It was the same thing. Christ and the bride right there. Jacob, I'm missing it today. What are these names? Jacob and Rachel. Amen. You watch him go after his wife and bring her back in. And part of the same family, part of the same lineage. They were to marry one another. Where does the church come from? The church comes from Christ.
Amen.
And she is identified with the same name. So when you present your prayers, you don't use your name. Why do you think we pray in Jesus' name?
Amen.
That's not a good catchphrase. We're supposed to be in his name.
Amen.
How do you get in his name? 1 Corinthians 12, 13, by one spirit. We're all baptized into one body.
Amen.
Not two bodies.
Yes.
One body.
That's right.
Why? Because husband and wife are one flesh.
Amen.
The Bible says that. I could just read that to you. I know I've got it somewhere here. It's Ephesians 5:31. I'll just read real quick. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now it sounds like he's talking about me and my wife. Sounds like he's talking about dad and my mom. Talking about Brother Tom and Sister Melissa. But look, Paul says in verse 32, this is a great mystery. Okay, I understand why sometimes you look at me like, this is kind of a mystery. Yeah, it is. And Paul even said the same thing. It is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Yes.
So when he was talking about marriage, when he was talking about husband and wife, he says, my whole intention of telling you this is because of Christ and the church. That those two shall be one flesh.
Amen.
They're one body. He's the head. We're the body. It's all one.
Yes.
You don't have to redeem yourself. You don't have to get good enough. Identify with him.
Amen.
You're the same body. You're made of the same makeup.
Right.
What's so hard to do that? You have to put faith in that.
Amen.
Because you go, I look at what I did this 5 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
I ain't worthy of that. Duh. Amen. Thank you for listening. Now take that demon spirit out of your mind and say what the word said.
Amen.
If I'm a part of him, I have his attribute.
Yes, I do.
Now look, I could go so many different directions. I'm trying to stay right on this line. let's go to this. I want to show you. Psalms. Right there in the middle of the Bible. Psalms 82. Sometimes you just got to let loose and let God, I guess, huh? Okay. Don't think when you're preaching. Don't think when you're receiving. Just, God, I have faith. I believe you, Lord. Psalms 82:1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked, Selah? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Who was talking this whole time? Right there in verse 1. I'm not done yet. Verse 1. Sorry. Verse 1 said, God standeth in the congregation. And verse 6 it says, I have said, ye are gods. God's own lips say, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. Now, right there, it sounds like, whoa, I thought we were monotheist. I thought we believed in one God. And here's God himself saying, you are gods. Sounds polytheist, don't it? But that can't be right. That would contradict the word.
Right.
The Bible said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thy serve. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. There's only one. What is it? What's the great mystery? Read there again. I have said you are gods. Now that word gods is Elohim. The same thing as John 1:1 where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's the same word that he is using right here. What is he saying? I created the heavens and the earth. They turn around saying, you are me. He's saying God is coming to his church and saying, you are me. We are one. We're the same flesh. All of you children of the Most High. It's just like you and your children. Where do your children come from? They come from you. They have the same genetic makeup as you. As far as the fathers, let me say it like that. A father, take a germ of his life, goes into a woman. The woman is just like a field out here. It has no life in its own. It needs to receive one. And as that gets into there, it will affect that seed. Obviously, you put a ground, you put a corn in clay and put it in soil, you're going to get two different things. It's the same corn, but it's growing up in a different atmosphere.
Right.
It's the same with the mother. That's why your children don't always look the same. There's all kinds of factors in it. I'll tell you what, the natural birth to me is one of the greatest mysteries in the world. I can understand the virgin birth where God just comes by and speaks something into existence. That natural birth, my goodness, that's just crazy. How can this little thing make, and here's a baby coming. God have mercy. But that life comes from the male, goes into the woman, and it forms another life. It's the same life in a different form. You're catching it. God was above all. The Father, you couldn't approach him. If you had any sin, you're dead. The Father came down, made himself the Son. Became a man like us,
right,
who's still in the form of God. Jesus Christ is God. Okay, he's not a lesser God. He's not half a God. He was all a God.
Mm-hmm.
You say, prove that out of the Bible, brother. Colossians 2:9. Let me read this to you. Colossians 2:9. Almost there. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There you go. 1264, John. Right at the top of the page. For in him, in who? Somebody help me out. Who are we in?
Him.
Who's him? That's what I'm asking. Jesus Christ. If we're in him, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that one human being that walked on earth here 2,000 years ago, he was there. Okay? You don't have to think that Jesus was imaginary. There's enough history to prove Jesus Christ was here. He was here, and in that one body was all of God. Had come down into that one body. Now look at verse 10. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him. How are you ever going to be complete? You have to get into Christ. You have to be one with him like you were before the foundation of the world. Like Adam and Eve was before they fell. They had a perfect oneness.
Amen.
There was, you know, the Bible says that Adam was made Eve's ruler after the fall.
Right.
Which means it couldn't have been that way before. It doesn't make sense. It's just like the serpent. The serpent couldn't have been a snake that withers on the ground before he was cursed. That's what he was cursed into. He had to be something else before that. A curse doesn't make sense.
Right.
You can't curse me to be 6'6". I'm already 6'6". If it was going to curse me, you'd change me somehow. That's the point of cursing. So, not.
Amen.
You get what I mean. A curse on something. Verse 10 again. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You're not identified in the flesh no more. The flesh is dead. It's been cut off, put into the trash, if a man be in Christ. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism. If you're buried, you're dead, okay? We buried him. We were buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Yes, amen, that's good.
See, he tells you how to enter into this. By the faith of the operation of God. That God can do what he says he can do. God said he could forgive all my sins. I have to accept that by faith.
Right.
That he doesn't hold it against me, knowing I did all that stuff on purpose. That I walked against his laws knowing it was wrong. I did it. I don't deserve to be the bride. You're right. But I'm not looking at my works. I'm not looking to try to merit something. I believe God. Now God said he died for all my sins. He took it and destroyed them and circumcised me from the law of the flesh. I don't identify with my flesh.
Amen.
It will fall. It will stumble. It'll have bad times. It'll have good times. It'll have all kinds of filth. It'll want sin. It'll want iniquity. That's not the inner man.
Right.
That's not who I'm identifying with. I'm identifying with Christ in me. Not in brother so-and-so, not in the preacher, not in this church, in me.
Amen.
That God is alive in me. I identify with his name. What's the bride's name? This is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
She's made of the same thing that God is. She is God in another form.
Amen.
It's Elohim made into something new. He was by himself. He took a part of him out and made us.
Yes.
Now, the word made there is a little tricky because it's eternal. And something eternal never was created, never will be destroyed, never started, never ends.
Right.
So, and here we go. It sounds like I'm trying to say that we existed sometime.
Yes, we did.
And in a form we did. But I want to clarify. It wasn't, let me show you. I'll just rewrite it here. The Lord told me to go this way on this one. Coming out of Church Age book. Brother Bram talking about the same lines I am. Listen close now. Before I close the subject, I know there's a question in your minds. You will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I don't believe in that Mormon doctrine of the preexistence of souls any more than I believe in the reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. Be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestined eternally from God. It is the word or seed. That is it. Way back there, too far back for the human mind to grasp, the eternal thought, eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought and decreed, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9:13. And neither was born neither have done good or evil. See, it was the thought. And then that thought became expressed. And God brought back Jacob because Jacob alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed. That is why he had respect unto the birthright, the covenants of God. If you are true seed of God, are you hearing me? This, it's not that you as a person or whatever, it's that the seed of God, God was eternal with every part of him. And none of God started. It always was. And if we're a part of him, that part of God that was in me, that came into me to make me, is eternal.
Yes.
Me as a human, what came the flesh and all that, that's all temporal. That'll all be done away with. My name will be erased. Andrew Crustle, but not God that was in me. Not the representation I had in him. The name of Miss Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see where you've got to identify. Not what I was here, but what I was before anything started. That seed that came into me. And if you are true seed, you will hear the word. You have to hear the word for your day. God will lose none of his.
Right.
The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you. And you will receive the word for your day and age. A lot of people say they receive the word for their day and age and got no power.
Uh-huh.
He just said he will empower you.
Right.
A lot of people are still struggling to even live a sanctified life anymore. We have a hard time keeping the things of the world out of our lives. Much less a powerful life.
Right.
Where Satan comes and you can cast him out. And people go fall down and say, I know God's with you.
Uh-huh.
That's what this gospel is meant to do.
Sure it is.
Wasn't it supposed to be some nice social hour? Where we come together and we go, yippee skippy, we're all saved. Let's just get ready for another week, I guess. We're still saved next. We're supposed to see God.
Amen.
He's supposed to manifest through us the same he did through Christ. Because it's the same word. It's the same life.
Amen.
It's the same person in a different form.
Yes, it is.
Eve was Adam in another body. That was the only difference between them. Adam lived in a male body. Eve lived in a female body. But they were the same person.
Amen.
One flesh. Amen. We're complete in him. We know that mystery was Christ and the bride. Now, how are you going to get into this? How do you identify with this? Is there some way in our mind we can remember? Oh, yeah, I remember when I was a seed of God before the foundation of the world. I can tie into that. Yeah, I got it up here. Yeah, we were hanging out and we you know, played some basketball or something. No, it's nothing to do with memory now. It has to do with the substance of what that seed is, and that's faith. The only people that can believe are those that are seed.
Right.
They're the only ones that can have the right faith in the Word of God. That it's all right, it's all correct, because that's what they are.
Yes.
The Word will feed on the Word, and that's it. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. You can't get a Christian to follow something outside of this Word. They won't do it.
Right.
Because the life in them doesn't agree with that. It's like trying to take a sheep and make them go wallow on mud, like a pig does. They won't do it, because it's not their nature. Try to get a sheep to kill something. Try to make it eat like a wolf. It won't do it. It's not its nature. Try to get a Christian to backtalk a bunch of people all the time. They won't do that. Now, which one are we talking about now? We're talking about the flesh Christian? Oh yeah, he messes up all the time. Sure does. We're talking about the inner man.
Mm-hmm.
Christ. Miss Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
1 John 2. Right there before Revelations. Let's go to chapter 3. 1 John 3. Starting at the first verse. 13:23, Brother John. 13:23. Yeah, same Bible I knew. No, 1 John. 13:23. Amen. You enjoying this morning?
Yes.
Are you getting it? You feeling, Lord, I just want, and that's what I keep thinking. And even in my own life, Lord, I want to be able to apply this like it should be. I should not be afraid of anything.
Nope.
Nothing.
Never.
I shouldn't even be afraid of myself. I should know that even though I have these bad desires, there's a way to overcome it, and he's in me.
Amen.
I can overcome myself at all times. If I'll just let him do it.
Amen.
He's already in me. Just got to let him do it. Christ. Identify that I'm not this man. I'm Christ, one with him.
Amen.
1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And I say amen. What kind of love God showed me to come to me and say, you're my son. with all the sin I had in my life.
Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So there's your promise right there. You have to first say, now I'm a son of God.
Amen.
I'm born again of the Spirit of God. That's my witness. We talk about that the Holy Ghost is a witness to us that we're sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Now that I know I am a son of God, I have to identify with this promise that when he comes, I will be like him.
Amen.
Full restoration, all the way back. That's what the message was sent to do. Take the church out of all its denominations, out of all these creeds and things that we had made up, and back to what she was before the foundation of the world. Christ, her or his wife. His wife. I've just got too much. I don't even know where to go. You pray for me now. I'm trying to find a spot to wrap this up. What's the bride's name?
This is Jesus Christ.
This is Jesus Christ. You have the same authority as he does.
Amen.
Because he gave it to us.
That's right.
We didn't earn it.
Nope.
We didn't do anything for it. What kind of love did he show upon us that we should be called the sons of God? We didn't do anything for it.
Right.
And that's what's so hard to grasp. It's like, shouldn't I have to do something? Shouldn't I have to be a good enough person or something? No, you need to believe.
Amen.
Believe in that his atonement was a perfect atonement by a perfect husband makes me a perfect wife. Now we can, most of us will identify that the bride is perfect. And we'll say this big general thing that, are you part of it or not?
Amen.
And if you're part of something that's perfect, you have to be perfect. Or it's not perfect. Right? This whole bench, if it's perfect, any part of this is perfect. If there was one thing off, would the whole thing be perfect no more? No, and that's what God so desired when he watched his bride fall. It was part of himself falling. You think God would let himself be defeated?
Right.
No. And if you be a part of him, he won't let you be defeated.
Never.
Never. Amen. Christ's mystery God revealed. I'm probably going to wrap it up right here. Paragraph 250. But the only way you're saved is by know him by revelation. You have to have this, not an intellect, but something that God comes and shows you that it's true. 251. If I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tie you Pentecostals till you wouldn't know. I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you know nothing of. That's right, but that's not it. That's not his church. His church is himself revealed.
Amen.
Brother Branham says, amen. Do you see it? And expressed by the word itself that he is God. See, coming out of perfect faith. I'm just going to keep reading these. It says, that, what he just said here, that puts you back in the word.
It does.
Now, that's not skim milk, see. It puts you back. I know it's going to jump right over the top of you, maybe. See, because it can't anchor, but real, genuine faith catches that right now.
Amen.
And that's what I'm hoping and trusting. I know it's even for me sometimes. There's times where it's just like, oh my, how can I even get my mind to go back to that? To identify with Christ in everything in my life. Paragraph 155, perfect faith. And now, we become anointed with that same Spirit. Anointed Messiahs. Messiahs of the last day to shine forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ to show that he is not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost, he's in his people, moving among his bride with a love affair to her, pouring out into her himself. Brother Branham says too in Perfect Faith, paragraph 93, and you become the word, as you receive the word.
Amen.
So it is. That seed is the word of God. We know the Bible says that too. You're born again of not corruptible seed, but incorruptible. The word of God. The word of God had to either be in you the whole time you've ever existed for eternity, or you don't have it. You're either serpent seed or you're God seed. You're one of the two. And you go, well, I can't make that choice. Well, the reason you are what you are is because you made the choice in God's mind before it ever got here. He already knew what you were going to do.
Uh-huh.
But that the purpose of God by election might stand, God can do what he wants. He can do what he wants with his creation. Who are you going to tell him? He don't ask Job the same thing. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world?
Uh-huh.
You know how long it is, buddy? Can you do it? But he said it when the sons of God were shouting for joy because they were in him.
Amen.
I think God, what it is, God before, when he made this whole picture,
We knew he knew the whole plan, the whole way. He knew what was going to happen. And in him, he had joy about it. Because he knew, oh yeah, it's going to look dim and dark and dreary. It's just like a good story writer. You know, he's got it all worked up, but he's waiting for that last 5 minutes. Oh, I can't wait. Because he's going to pull it all together. It's going to be glorious. It's the same with the church.
Amen.
We've gone through 2,000 years of a bunch of denominational difference. This, like we said earlier, this brother hating this and fighting, not getting any results like we're supposed to be having, casting out demons like the church is supposed to be doing. We've gone 2,000 years through this muck. But God left that little part. It says, she'll be there. That bride, without spot or wrinkle, she'll be there. I already wrote it down. It has to come to pass.
Right.
And what do we need to do is not sit around and wait. Whoa, we're waiting on God. You know, God, whatever you want. He wants to do it, church. He wants it to happen. He's waiting on us.
Uh-huh.
And not on you to work it up, on you to believe it.
Amen.
And when you see sickness, even in your house, go lay your hands on them.
Yes.
They'll get well.
Right.
You see a demon, cast it out.
Mm-hmm.
You want to speak in tongues, ask God. You'll do it.
Right.
I can testify to that. Did it for me. And praise God. I like seeing the supernatural. I don't know about you, but I enjoy it. And as long as it's right here with this word. Let me wrap it all up here with this one quote. The rising of the sun. Listen close now. And as he, being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. It can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any others has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride.
Amen.
That makes it pretty clear. If you claim to be the bride of Christ, and what you believe doesn't tote up with what Jesus did, you're not the bride. You're a liar.
Right.
You say, oh, I believe the word, but you know, some of them things in there, I'm just going to have to overlook that. That's not what the Bible said. That's not what the bride will say.
Nope.
She'll believe it all. I've set no wicked thing before mine eyes.
Right.
If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride, because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. As man and woman are one, and woman taken from his side, she had taken a spirit, the feminine spirit, from him. The flesh from his side made both mechanics and dynamics the wife.
Yeah.
The spirit of him and the flesh of him, and put it together and made mechanics and the dynamics. The bride will have both. You say, what are mechanics and dynamics? Mechanics are, you got your car, it's got all its parts. It's not missing tires, it's not missing the engine, it's not missing windows, it's got all the mechanics. Dynamics is what comes into it to make it move. And not even just the gas is still part of the mechanics. You need some fire.
Right.
If you don't light that gas, you're not going anywhere.
That's right.
That's what the born again experience does. It lights the fire that was in you. It's just the same as having that seed. The Holy Ghost comes and gives it life. Now it'll raise up.
Right.
Because you take that seed and put it in a little baggie like they do at the store, it just sits there. Right? It's got the life in it.
Right.
But why isn't it sprouting now? It's not in the right atmosphere yet. And a lot of people wonder, why is my life not doing what it's supposed to be doing? You even notice if that's been born again. And you get stagnant and you look at your life and go, where's the fruit of God that's supposed to be in my life? What atmosphere are you in?
Right. Amen.
Makes it pretty easy then, right? If I take a seed and put it in a cement box, I don't expect to get any fruit this year. But if I take it, put it where God ordained it to be, right there in the ground, take my seed, put it where God ordained it to be, which is right here, reading the Word, praying, and spending fellowship with God, around the things of God. Even when we fellowship, we need to spend it around the things of God to expect to see God come out of us.
Mm-hmm.
To expect to see what we're supposed to be in Christ come out.
Right.
Has to be the right atmosphere. So if you just look at this as a seed, Dad, go ahead, come on up. I'm going to wrap up right here. You look at all this as a seed. It's the same thing. God in his mind eternally knew which one was be saved, which one would be lost. His saved, he put, had a part of his life in them. And that is what makes us eternal. A part of me never started. A part of you never started if you've been born again of the Spirit of God. But if you don't have the seed of God, you'll never be there. Brother Brandon said that. If you don't have any representation, you won't be there. The bride's name is Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God, somebody say that one more time. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
Amen.
For his seed remaineth in him. God's seed remains in his bride, and she can't sin before him. She's perfect. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. The bride's name, Mrs. Jesus Christ.
bow our heads together.
Hallelujah.
Now, if there's any question in your mind whether you'd be part of this, I'm not looking around either, but I want you to express your need to Him. I know there's times where I doubt and I have to get down and pray and say, Lord, I look at my life and I just don't feel like a Christian. I don't feel like where I'm supposed to be. And I just start repenting and raising my hands to Him, and He just comes by and sweetly reminds me once again that He knew I was going to make that mistake, and He already paid for it. And if you have a need, would you just raise it to Him? Raise your hands to Him. I believe that He'll come and answer that need for you this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe those hands lifted up to You and in requests, Lord, that You would be able to magnify Your life into these people. Father, we know it's the same life. We know it can do the same things, Lord. And we just pray that You'd set us free from all the bondages of sin, however it might come in, even from ourselves, as we've been talking about those two laws. Father, we want to identify with the law of God in our lives, that we don't listen to the flesh, but we listen to what Your Word has told us to do. Lord, I want to see the fruit of Your life in my life and even in every person that's here this morning. Forgive us, Lord. We repent of where we've fallen short, Lord. And we ask You that You'd help us to be real Christians. I pray for any need of the people that You'd come by and give it to them, Lord, according to their faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Yes. Go ahead.